This is the Converge Podcast. We meet at 10:30 every Sunday morning at Heritage Baptist Church in the chapel. This is a group that is geared towards those who are young adults who want to follow Jesus and live the gospel life wherever the journey takes them.
Good morning, everybody. We almost can do away with a microphone if we can move forward and move in. I bet we can fit at maybe six or eight tables kind of closer. Would you guys be willing to? Let me lower the bar. I'm Dave. I'm glad you're here. This is Converge. We're excited to be together and in fellowship in God's Word. But let's everybody just stand up for a second. Everybody loosen up. And if you're sitting at a table by yourself or too far away for me to toss something to you, then come closer. Come closer. We're going to be together today. I'm so glad that you guys are here. There is a shift in our summer, and this particular month is always tough because some people have gone, others will be coming. It's just a transition kind of time, but we're thrilled to be able to be together. So honestly, if it weren't for recording our podcast, hopefully for some of those people who aren't filling these tables today, then I would probably take the mic off and we would just go with it. But we'll keep it on. Sorry for the formality. We don't want to feel like it's a distance because of the microphone. But we're glad you're here. We're going to start a new series today of teaching. And we're going to get into it in just a few minutes. But I want to tell you really just two things. Number one, if you want to connect with us, the information's on the table. Look at it. Check into it. There's also opportunities for serving this summer. It's a big need this summer as many people travel, and so there's opportunities to serve within our kids ministry in particular. All of that is on the papers that's on your table. Also, in the transition of things, there's an opportunity that we can just be the body together, which is Jake, my friend right here. He lives out towards Goode or even towards farther towards Bedford. And if there's ever a chance for carpooling, like if you come that direction, Jake could use a ride. And so we're just trying to hook Jake up with some options for transportation. So if you come that direction, then get to know Jake, and we'd love to come and support him in that. So does Jake, everybody? Now, we're all introduced, and you can be together. All right, I have a question for you to talk around your table for a minute, okay? Sam, I'm not going to let you stay there. You got to move up. I'll call you out by name. So, all right, here's your question. When it comes to conflict, okay, when things get unsettled around you, are you more likely to run from it or jump into it? Okay, are you more the fight or the flight? Are you more the escape or attack? Okay, and we're gonna leave it, you know, neutral in any finger pointing as to, you know, who's right or who's wrong. But I would like to also say, among the table, which do you think is actually better? Okay, so are you more fight or flight? And as a table, can we come to a consensus on which we think is better, okay? It takes a few minutes to discuss that. Get to know each other, too. If you haven't met everybody at your table, get to know each other, and then we'll talk in just a minute.
Hey, for those of us that run from conflict, do we actually have to say what we think is right, or can we kind of back off and run from it?
Yeah, so we'll jump to my punchline after this. Is I was fully expecting every single table to come up with fighting is better, like engaging with conflict is better, because the engagers would go with it and the escapers wouldn't. That's kind of where I was thinking we would go, but now, you know, we'll see how it plays out, okay? Just in case anybody's wondering, I'm definitely an escaper, and so if it gets too hostile in here, you might not find me. I'm going to bring around our tablets to check into. If you can just fill it out and then pass it to the next table, it just uses your phone number to check in. All right, thanks, guys. We'll be back in a few minutes to discuss what you are talking about.
Thank you.
All right, let's discuss this a little bit as a group. If you would definitively, okay, now if you're kind of split in the middle, you're not really sure where you land, or if you call that more balanced or something, then try to choose a lane. So would you consider yourself more of an avoider of conflict or an engager of conflict? Who would say, I'm a flight person? Okay, there's my people right there. Flight. Yeah, flight. Yeah, there's my people. Okay, who would say I'm more of a fight person? And we don't, you know, I know the connotations to fighting. We're more ready to engage. We're not going to let it rest. Okay. Who thinks that they legitimately stand in the middle? Overachievers right there, overachievers. No, I'm encouraged that you can find a balance in that. I really think that it's a development that we need to find, right? Because here's where we're going to ultimately get in this conversation. This is not fully for today, but we're going to get here. And that is that either side of that is actually biblical, right? That we tend to feel like our way is better, okay? The way that it's also more comfortable for us. But we tend to think our way is better. But really, there's biblical truth in both sides of this discussion where it's really good. In fact, we just read it in Ephesians over the course of our study that we need to be able to speak the truth in love. That when something needs to be said, it gets said. Okay? And so for those of you who would tend to engage in conflict, that's for you. That's scriptural. That's beneficial. It grows the body. It's how we develop as a team, right? In unity as the body of Christ, we need to address those things. You know, it's also biblical that we can gain unity by overlooking an offense. That sometimes what we feel offended by is less significant than the unity of the body is. So we can overlook that and move on, and we're all the better for it. Okay? Now, you can also take those things to either extreme, where I am just so set on there needing to be justice that if something needs to be said, I'm going to say it. And so overlooking an offense is just too hard for me to do. Or, on the other hand, if I'm not willing to speak up, so we do damage. What the point is, we do damage by saying something that really should have been overlooked. Or we overlook something that needs to be said, and so we actually do damage by letting somebody continue on in sin or offense, which has dramatic consequences in Scripture of God not hearing our prayers, of us not, we should not go and worship if we know that there is an offense. You know, there are big consequences in Scripture if we kind of overlook things that really should be dealt with. And so both of these can be in error, but they're also both godly in the right context. Okay? In Ephesians, we read in Ephesians chapter 2 that there is unity and walls of hostility having been torn down by the blood of Jesus. That we should have unity. That the walls of hostility having been torn down sets an identity on us that we need to be unified as a body because we are. We are unified to Jesus and then in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, then, you know, just like in all of our study, we said this kind of sets an identity in the first half. It kind of tells us where we need to live it out in the second half. Ephesians chapter 4 says we should work for the unity of the body. We should eagerly work towards unity. And so it's important that there be unity. This is a truth that we've spent actually a good portion of the last year, it's shown up in a couple of different ways through the book of Ephesians as we've studied. This is a truth that we should live in unity. But conflict exists. True or false? True. Okay? Conflict exists. So what are we supposed to do with that? If we're supposed to be unified and yet conflict exists, then our course of action must be that we need to learn how to effectively deal with conflict, right? Let me define some terms here, because we're going to be using the word conflict to kind of cover a spectrum of things, and I want to make sure that we're all on the same page, okay? You can have variation in understanding or belief, okay? We are, this is also biblical, even also from Ephesians, that we have different giftings. We are equipped differently. We're all part of the same body, but there's diversity in that. And so if there's diversity in gifting, if there's diversity in ability, there's also legitimate diversity in communication ability. There's legitimate diversity in belief of what would be better in a good or better kind of situation. There shouldn't be a ton of diversity in right versus wrong, right? But when we talk about some gray areas, there's legitimate diversity in how we understand things to be the case. That we're going to lump that into this big spectrum of conflict, because it's where some of that initiates, okay? There's also argument, or now voiced argument between two people, where it's escalated. It's not just I think differently than you, but now we're having a conversation about it. Okay, and so this can be unsettling for the escapers in the room. Okay, as soon as we engage with that, it begins to feel like we're in really dangerous territory. Okay, anybody sharing these feelings with me? Okay. It's really not a full-blown conflict. We're just honestly having a conversation about differing beliefs now, but it's escalated now one step more. We're gonna include that in our word conflict as we discuss it. Okay, and then that we might just even call it contention. It's not really conflict. It's contention. Okay, this is that old we're not fighting, we're just having a conversation or whatever. And then there's conflict, where there's an all-out battle. Like, people are not getting along, and it's active, and it's bad, and it's ugly, okay? So it's a big spectrum, from differing opinions to all-out battle. But we're going to kind of contain all of our ideas of conflict within that, and then we'll try to parse it out as necessary when it makes a lot of sense, okay? But here's the reason we're going to include all of them, is because I want us to understand right from the get-go that not all conflict is bad. Differing opinions can be good. But in all conflict, as the body of Christ, we need to be undivided. Unity has to be of prime importance. We need to eagerly maintain the unity of the body. That's what Ephesians 4 says. And so this series, we're going to call Undivided. I'll give credit to Josh and Christina, Josh in particular, who helped me brainstorm how to approach this. And so we're going to call it Undivided. Josh is also going to help teach parts of it as we go. And so I'm grateful to Josh for that. But we're going to call it Undivided. We're going to spend May and June, with one break in the middle to revisit Killjoys with Ben. We're going to spend May and June going through this series called Undivided, as we look for good ways to deal with real conflict. Okay? There is a resource that I'll share with you if you are the type to read and no professors are giving you reading to do this summer. The big version is called The Peacemaker. Okay, this is by Ken Sand or Sandy. I actually haven't justified any actual pronunciation of his name by going and looking for it. I was always taught Sandy until I was questioned on that. And it was a conflict, and we had to deal with it, compromise. I'll just tell you both. Okay, so the peacemaker, if that seems hefty, then they shortened it into this little book called Resolving Everyday Conflict. Here, you can get my picture. These are resources that are going to help guide our conversation, but if we just lean on Ken Sand as to how to deal with conflict, then we aren't getting to the core of it. We're going to go to Scripture, okay? We want to understand that what we're doing here is biblical in how we deal. Thank you. Look at that. Wow. Seth can work some magic back there. We want to make sure that what we're talking about is grounded deeply in Scripture. And so our point being right from the get-go is that it is of prime importance. Jesus mentions it himself, that we would be unified as a body. Okay? But conflict is real, and not all conflict is bad. I would like to submit for evidence right out of the gates, Acts chapter 6. Will you guys turn with me to Acts chapter 6? This is not an unfamiliar passage. However, we don't usually talk about it in terms of conflict, so I'd like to look at it from that perspective. Okay? Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. It reads this. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint, all you escapers, hairs just raised up on the back of your necks right there, okay? A complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. Magical conflict resolution. What they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Okay, so we start out with a conflict of the apostles of God, maybe some of the other reasons why this conflict arose, okay? I would like to hypothesize on a couple of things that are just real, genuine conflict issues as we approach conflict, okay, in our own lives. It could be that they didn't care about them or were prejudiced. It could be. That's what's on the surface, that there's a division between the Hellenists, the Greeks, and the Hebrews, okay? Could be. It could be that they didn't know there was a need, okay? Now, that might seem unlikely that some people would know and some people wouldn't, but frankly, there are times when conflicts take place because we don't express ourselves, right? It's very possible that they were ministering to all the people that they knew had an issue and that other needs weren't presented until it just bubbled up to the point that there was a complaint that arose against them. I'm not saying that is. Don't walk away from here saying that's doctrine. We're not adding anything to Acts chapter 6 here. It's a possibility. This is the nature of conflict that we see in our lives today. It could be, and this has some credibility in what we're reading, it could be that they were trying but didn't have the capacity. It just was beyond what they were able to do, but they were trying to do it. Also, it could be that they had different priorities, that they saw the deep need to preach and to pray as they led this body of new believers, and that serving at the tables, it's important, but if we have to do one, we're going to do this kind of thing. And so it's a difference of even opinion of priority in that case. There are 100 potential possibilities or combinations of those four that I just said out loud that could have contributed to why there was a conflict. But let's look at what actually happened, okay? They took this conflict as an opportunity. There didn't seem to arise a council where we had to necessarily debate, are these people the right ones to serve? What does serving really mean? That's not present here. It's more of a decision. You know what? There is a need. We can't do it. Here's a solution. Other people can join the cause. We're going to work together on this, finding a solution that pleased everybody. Doesn't always happen. That's really fantastic that we read that here. It pleased everybody. And not only do we see that it actually pleased everybody and kind of met some needs, but what did working through that conflict accomplish? Verse 7 says, "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the truth," or obedient to the faith. There was growth in the body because healthy conflict was engaged with in order to find resolution. There's growth that comes from it. People say there's really no movement without some friction, right? Yeah, I mean, there are scientific ways to avoid that. Or if you do science and ignore friction because you're not that as far advanced in science to realize friction exists, okay, friction really exists. I taught physics for a while, and we would ignore friction because it was like basic physics, right? And it just gets more complicated. Friction exists. Friction exists between people. Momentum is achieved when friction is overcome. Okay, and so that's part of what this is that we're looking at. Not all conflict is bad, but conflict does exist. And so we want to find productive ways to move through it, godly ways to move through it. So I would love for you to talk at your tables for a few minutes, okay? Thinking in terms of not all conflict is bad. Some conflict does move in a direction that is bad, and so that's a reality as well. I would love for you to think through, maybe using Acts 6 and the hypotheses that I presented as some examples, what causes conflict between people who profess to know Jesus? What causes conflict between people that profess to know Jesus? Think categorically, okay? Don't think specifically. Think categorically. Discuss that for a few minutes, and we'll see what thoughts we can collect as a group, okay? if we can together come up with some categories of things. What did you discuss at your table? What are some things that cause conflict? And when we say conflict in this particular context, it could go into the destructive battle type conflict. We're mostly trying to start with where the variations are, okay? So share with me, what causes conflict among people who profess to know Jesus? Seth has a mic because we are trying to help our people who aren't here this summer to be able to stick with us, so we'll get it on the podcast. But what causes, we got a hand? Oh, yeah, there you go. Awesome.
Should I share all? Okay. We said competing needs, like talking about serving. There's a need there. Also talked about how our feelings can be an issue that causes conflict. Also, differing beliefs that could be either doctrinal or everyday beliefs about how life should be done. And then we also talked about how sin in general, especially our selfishness, can cause conflict. And one that we kind of touched on too is just how we like to have power and control that can cause conflict as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are some great categories. Would anybody like to add to those categories? We can tease those out a little bit, but I'd love to hear if anybody else wants to corroborate those or add to them. Yeah. I wrote them down too, so I won't forget.
I remember two that we mentioned at our table. One was differing religious preferences, so different denominations, for example, as well as, had it a second ago.
Come back.
It was a good one, I bet.
It was a really good one. It's gone.
Oh, that's okay. Did anybody at the table remember with the?
Simple misunderstandings, as well as the feelings of being overlooked. When people, they can take things personally, such as like not being welcomed or being pushed to the side, and that can create a lot of contention and frustration. And when there's somebody who is a fleer, it's something called gunny sacking. And so one day they'll just blow up pretty often. Not all the time, but.
Yeah, no, that's true. We're going to get there. I would say, too, that what you guys said about misunderstandings and what feelings that can bring about is, I bet, a crossover to what you guys said about feelings, that those tend to be abused internally when we have misunderstandings. Not to say that's all encompassing of what you said, but yeah. Who's got it? Oh, Robert.
Sometimes it could just be sin, you know, that's going on. Sometimes we talked about opinions or things that ultimately don't matter. Other times it could be just, you know, you're following the wrong, where to go?
Let me stand over here. Let's talk to each other.
Other times it's because, you know, maybe a group of people are following the wrong person, like Corinthians was brought up, being of Paul and of Apollos and Cephas, and then, you know, people that are saying we're following Jesus. So it could just be because of stuff like that.
Yeah, competition, maybe, we could say.
Sure.
Is that how it kind of playing out? Yeah. Good. A lot of overlap.
One of the things we were talking about is like not acknowledging or utilizing the different gifts and roles, they're even people's natural roles that they might fit into, and the capacity. Sounds so loud. You guys hear me okay, right? different roles in the capacity that they already presently fit. Like if you are a teacher and that comes natural, then go to it, you know, and supporting those. And some people will be servicers, and, you know, like they might be there to serve, and you don't have to make them a teacher necessarily. It's like acknowledging sometimes, not that people shouldn't be stretched, but and explore what their roles are, especially when they're younger. Mm-hmm. You guys don't know what your roles are yet.
Yeah.
Use them all. But
Yeah.
Just exploring those different gifts and abilities and being able to utilize them in a capacity.
And valuing, what I was hearing at the beginning, is valuing the gifts in others.
Yes.
And the variation that is there, the Absolutely. Diversity among the body. Yeah, good. Cameron's got some.
I think politics, too, that, like, being a believer, like, you have to necessarily lean, like, one way politically, and if you're not, then, like, are you even a follower of Jesus? And kind of like being thrown into that box. So I think, yeah, that definitely brings conflict.
Yeah, so if we kind of put that under the same umbrella as differing beliefs, and really maybe even prioritization of those beliefs, we can see that category growing in kind of differing directions as we think about, you know, whether that's nuances of the faith, whether that's politics and what you're talking about, or additional things. Yeah, that's really good. Guys, these are, yeah, Jeff. Seth told me he wasn't able to go to the gym this week, so we're running him across.
So we talked about even how things are shared. So like even in this passage, the tone can be read here that the disciples are saying, hey, that's beneath us to do those things. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the result, it really is we need to be spending time preaching and teaching, but we need to find somebody to do those things. So just how the things are expressed, the tone in which they're expressed and what's said can make a huge difference there.
Yeah, I might summarize what you're saying as poor communication on either the part of the speaker or the listener, which can then affect the feelings that come from, I've lost the wording. Yeah, being overlooked or the misunderstandings, that's the word. It's the same thing, it keeps slipping out of our head. Yeah, these things all contribute, okay? Now, for the most part, we can finger point with overlooking, we can finger point with rough communication, we can finger point, but for the most part, these are generally amoral, right? Not necessarily right or wrong, except for when we talked about pride coming up, right? That our own selfishness and our own pride in putting ourselves above the needs of others, that causes conflict, and that in and of itself is sinful, okay? But for the most part, if I communicate, but I communicate poorly, there's refinement that can take place, but if you also then hear that with grace, that if I'm, you know, if we take 1 Corinthians 13 where it says that love believes all things, and that included in that is that I believe that Dave means the best when he says these things, or Dave has good intentions, or however you want to kind of word that I can then hear it with grace and say, well, if Dave generally means good in what he's saying, and in reality, the end result really is good, and we can work together to this, even though how he said it sort of makes me feel bad, then we can work through a lot of things, right? We can work through things like in Acts 6 that say, we got to the end of that, everybody was served, everybody was glad of what happened here, and not only that, but because everyone is served and everybody's glad about it and everybody was a part of this, now the body continues to grow. So we see resolution actually bring growth in the end of it all. And so what we want to get out of this is that most of the things that we've said have the ability to generate conflict in battle kind of terms. But it also has the possibility of generating a lot of growth in the body when we work together to work through it. Okay, so it's like a spark. A spark can be terribly destructive or extremely useful. Okay, terribly destructive if it's my son who just learned how to use a fire starter thing, you know, with the sparks, and he's walking around our wood deck just like, we have to put a stop to that because that can be destructive, Okay, but if we get him out at the fire pit and we have everything set to do that, then very useful in that. And really, we're the same. We're the same. If there's a rub between us and we can talk that through and we can come to resolution, and you've seen a gap in what I'm doing, or you've seen an error in what I'm doing, and you call me out on that, or I call you out on that, and together we're able to see what Ephesians did talk about over the course of our study, that now we speak the truth in love, we come together in unity, the body is working together the way it's supposed to be, we're both growing into the maturity of Jesus, and now the body's going to function better. That's what we long to see in conflict resolution, okay? And when we've talked about this, and when I asked the question of how does this look in people who profess to be followers of Jesus, guys, this gets, that seems to be like, okay, how does this happen in a church? I'd like for you to pull that out of the only, it does have to be in the church context too, but it needs to be in your future home where you're going to live with a spouse if God provides that for you, where it's in your current home where there's roommates or parents that you still live with, and there will inevitably be conflict of whatever degree based on your normal tendency and how you approach this. There will be conflict, and these conflicts are opportunities to work through, to become better equipped to walk through life together in the body of Christ. Okay, so what goes wrong is when we have a conflict and now our pride and our agenda doesn't become just fuel for the fire but gasoline on the fire. And so that spark that existed now blows up out of control because I have put my needs above the other person. Sparks are going to be there because people are different and we want different things. At our core, we understand things differently. We look at them differently. The gasoline comes when differences get worse and when selfishness and pride drive our reactions. So now instead of looking for resolution, I'm looking for victory. And just to, you know, tease where we're going to go in a couple weeks, if I am an escaper, which I am, then victory in my case is we pretend it never existed. And so we bottle it up, usually. Okay, tend to, you guys who said that I really kind of exist in both camps, like that's really the reality for all of us, because I can only suppress an escape for so long before it just, right? And you can sometimes, if you're the more of the attack type, it's like hit and run, you know? I'm going to say what I need to say, and then I'm going to get out before there's a return fire, okay? So we can kind of live in both worlds, and we can live in both worlds sinfully, but when we put gasoline on the fire, it's because we've now brought our own selfishness and pride into it, and so that's what James tells us in James chapter 4. So if you don't know this passage, if you want to look it up and watch while we read it here, James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask." And then he goes on to talk about how we even approach God wrongly. We ask and do not receive because we ask wrongly to spend it on these same passions. But we have conflict, or we have differences that get blown into conflict because we put our own passions and desires above the other person, and it results in failing to respond properly, and now we're letting our own sinfulness drive this, and it's becoming the quarrel and the fight that James is talking about here. We have a tendency to let what we want become sin in order to obtain it, or sin in response to not obtaining it. Think about drive something so we allow ourselves to be driven by our pride. We allow sin in order to obtain what we don't have. Or we sin because we can't obtain it. Okay, here's a for instance. If you've been around me for a while, you've probably heard me talk in terms of core idols that people tend to share. That really, I think, even deeper in the core comes back to pride. But we tend to want comfort or control or significance. Comfort or control or significance. Sometimes people also say power and make it four. But control and power can be combined or divided based on whether it's you're trying to control people or circumstances. We want this to be the case. Like, we tend to land in one of those realities. Okay? That if you go back to the sin that resides in your heart and the things that you tend to put guardrails up or build accountability partners for or discuss in terms of pray that you know, have victory in this, they tend to be manifestations of deeper idols that really result from our own pride. Okay? So pornography is rampant in our society. It's common among people who claim to know Jesus, who do legitimately know Jesus, but have been trapped up in the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. Pornography is a real thing. And we build 100 guardrails around us. We build guardrails before guardrails to be able to protect ourselves against pornography. We get rid of computers, or we put all kinds of clamps on the use of technology to be able to do that. We have accountability partners that hold us in dorm rooms or in homes or over the phone. We build all kinds of structure around us to try to keep us from going into pornography. But pornography tends to be an outflow of one of these other things. In fact, it can really be any of them. So we take the three: control, comfort, or significance. I could go into a habit of pornography because I feel like I can't control my situation. That all the people around me, I can't get them to do what I want them to do. Nobody will give me a chance at a relationship. And then I go into this habit because I can control the terms. And now I pursue pornography because it's a matter of control. I can't control the environment I'm in. We build up the guardrails. We get the accountability. We push against that particular manifestation of that sin enough that now we don't jump into pornography right away, but we find some other metric by which we can find control over circumstances around us. Because what we haven't realized is that deep down in my heart, I'm not willing to allow God to be the sovereign, providential control of my life. We look for significance in other people. And nobody gives us that significance. We walk through life and it's like nobody's even looking at us. Nobody pats you on the back for doing a good job, even if you beg for it. And so you slide into pornography because there's a facade of somebody who will say you're the best that there is. And so we live there and we delve into it. But then we build up all the guardrails and put all the stops there. And you know what? We look for something that's more respectable, that now provides me significance. And it could be as simple as a food addiction that we consider super respectable until Ben talks about gluttony. And now we realize that this is just another manifestation of I need significance somewhere, and just like pornography doesn't say no, neither does food say no to me. It gives me some kind of significance. or power. Oh no, we did control comfort. Comfort's kind of a one we can access pretty simply and say, you know what? My world around me doesn't feel good, but I can go into this fictional space and feel better about myself for a time. And so we delve into it, and we mess around there until we realize this is not where we want to be. This doesn't honor the Lord. And so we put up the guardrails, and we build in the accountability, and we put all the blocks on the computer. And then what we realize is that I'm just going to go to something else that makes me feel better, and video games are more respectable than pornography. And so we realize that what I'm not getting is that I have peace with God because of what Jesus has done, and instead we're looking for peace to come from somewhere else. As these core idols, when they're attacked, is when we're most quickly going to jump into conflict. My core of those three, I mean, we all share all of them, okay, but one probably peaks for you too. Mine is significance. And I find that when people look to me as an authority or a support to them or a help or whatever, the quickest thing to get me angry and in conflict, I am not an angry person. I hope I can say that with all humility. It's just not something that I deal with, is flying off the handle, okay? That is a real difficult battle for a lot of people to hold their temper. For me, it's not. But if you want to see it, it's when my significance is challenged, and specifically when my authority is challenged. It's the quickest, and if when I worked with students at Liberty, okay, just when I was there, if I had a group of students who would challenge my authority in the classroom, that's the quickest. I would have to control it so much because the idol that was being attacked was my significance, because I had found significance in being the authority in the room. And if I wanted conflict with a student, all they had to do was talk back. Okay? Like, that's just... And I'm telling you that you have idols deep down inside. And they manifest themselves in 100 different ways. But deep down inside, they're all being fed by your pride. And if you allow your pride to be what drives you rather than seeking to please the Lord in the situations that you find yourselves in, because there will be conflicts. It's not optional in life. There will be conflicts. There will be disagreements. There will be differences of opinion. What you do in response to them is going to be a mark of, has God brought you to a place of humility that models Jesus, where you're willing to walk through that for the better of the body? Or are you going to fight for your rights in whatever the situation is? But what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, is that as much as it depends on us, we are to live peaceably with all people. And so if we have two people who could potentially be in conflict and they're both followers of Jesus, there's actually not a space for living with hostility, because you've got two people who are supposed to do all that depends on them to live peaceably with somebody else. And really, when it comes to the world and all those who wouldn't be inclined to follow Jesus in conflict resolution, as much as it depends on us, we're supposed to live peaceably with them too. So we're going to talk through this for the next... 8 weeks, except for 1 week, we'll jump back into our Killjoy study. And so if you want to track with us and you're not overwhelmed maybe for the summer with other reading and schoolwork, Seth has the two books now, The Magic of Technology, see if there they are, that you can track with us as we go through. But I hope that what it does is it gives us some foundation that can lay under all of these experiences that are going to come at us. And then we do it in as much of a vacuum as we can, because hopefully there's not live conflict in the room right now. Okay? If there is, let's do it. Let's take care of it. Okay? But if there's not, then that provides us a little bit more of a vacuum, so to speak, to learn these in, because if you, so back to our science-y kind of conversation, that's where some of that resistance goes away, in a vacuum, so that you don't have that friction happening. So if we can do some of the groundwork here to get an understanding of how we naturally respond to conflict, so that we can kind of have red flags that go up when we feel conflict, then I think it's going to equip us to do what Paul has told us in Ephesians 4, to eagerly maintain unity in the body of Christ. Okay? This has been a revolutionary study for me to know myself better, and so I hope it is for you very equipping for how to live among the body, because it's not all easy. There are difficult people. You also are difficult people, okay, if we're honest. So that's where we're going to go for the next few weeks, and enjoy being with you on that study as we go. Okay, let's pray together. Father, you are so good. You have made peace with us. You have reconciled to us. Father, that's got to be the ultimate conflict for us, to be enemies with our Creator. And you have modeled through the blood of Jesus what reconciliation, resolving that conflict looks like, as he took on the form of a servant, humbled himself, died on the cross for us to reconcile us to you. And then you give us the opportunity to reconcile with others. So, Father, as we look at our own natural tendency and the ways that we have knee-jerk responses to conflict, I pray that you would unveil our eyes into how we can apply the gospel more clearly to our conflict in our own little environment that we have, because our hearts are dark. You have made them new. Allow us, Father, to walk in the light as you have moved us in the light. We love you. Thank you for the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, two quick things. Today is Mother's Day. You should do something about that. In 2 weeks, here's the truth. I really like cereal. Do you guys like cereal?
Yes.
Okay. We want for our snacks in 2 weeks, we want to have a big giant cereal bar.
Yay.
Okay. So here's what I would like to ask. We will provide milk of various dairy and non-dairy types. I'll try my best. If there's a particular, please ask for it so that I don't miss it, okay? What's that? Yeah, right. Let's avoid the conflict. Yeah, we want you to participate. And what I would love for you to do is bring your favorite cereal. And if you say, I don't like cereal, just pretend, okay? Just put on the facade and come. I just think it'll be fun, okay? So in two weeks, we'll do a big cereal day, and we'll just enjoy it, okay? Have a great afternoon. We're glad that you're here. Be back next time.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you would like to get plugged into a small group, just text HBConverge to 81010 and you will get the text reminders for all the small groups. If you have any questions, just respond to one of those text reminders and it will go to our leadership team, and they'll be able to respond to you directly.